Got to tell you about somebody.
His name was J. Paul Getty. Some of you might have worked for him. I'm just saying now, I mean, there could have been a possibility that your paycheck was actually signed by him. But maybe not. J. Paul Getty was a petroleum industrialist who founded the Getty Oil Company in 1942 and was the patriarch of the Getty family. He was a native of Minneapolis, but honest truth, he loved the old world, London, Paris, Rome. He loved that world, maybe just a little bit more than he loved our United States. He was the son of a pioneer oil man, George Getty. In 1957, Fortune magazine named him the richest living American. And in 1966, Guinness Book of World Records named him as the world's richest private citizen, worth an estimated $1.2 billion. And if we translate that to today's dollars, it would be more than $10 million. $10 billion. At his death, he was worth more than $6 billion. And my guess is that that would be somewhere north of $40 billion in today's dollars. In 1984, after entering a binding agreement, you know, I grew up in a world where a handshake could do a $1 million deal, and your word was your bond. After entering a binding agreement to sell Getty Oil Company and its 2.3 billion barrel stockpile of proven oil reserves to Pennzoil, Gordon Getty, J. Paul's son, turned around and struck a dramatic deal to sell the company to Texaco, the Texas Oil Company. On November the 19th of 1985, in the case of Texaco Inc. versus Pennzoil Company, Pennzoil won a US $10.53 billion verdict against Texaco in the largest civil verdict in US history as a result of the violation of the binding agreement in violation of not honoring a handshake and keeping the word. Yeah. You know, I keep using this word billion, and yet for those of you who are watching the news on a regular basis, our government now has us speaking about trillions. So I don't know if billion means anything anymore. Maybe it's just chump change. Anyway, he wrote a book once. It's tough to be a billionaire. Anybody else going to write that book? I'm looking. Maybe they're behind that post. J. Paul Getty died. Breaking news, we all will. He died at 83 of cardiac arrest in 1976, leaving his wealth, about $6 billion, to his three sons. He was the wealthiest man of his days. As I said, he was born and brought up in the United States. He established his oil empire, but he made the headquarters over in London. And he led that corporation for 25 years. He spoke most European languages. And he understood Russian, Arabic, Latin, and Greek. Bright man. Did I mention that he was married 5 times? And he ended up divorcing all of his wives? He told an interviewer, "I would give all my wealth for a successful marriage." So, for those of you who have a successful marriage, based on the time of his death, $6 billion, you got a $6 billion marriage. That's nothing to sneeze at. He said, "I would give anything for a successful marriage." Now comes the kicker. "I hate being a failure." He didn't really want a relationship. He just didn't want to be a failure. He said, "I hate not being able to make a success of marriage." He admitted that money could not buy him happiness, and often it gave him more unhappiness than happiness. Well, he was quite a gentleman. He refused to give his money to charities, arguing that it made people lazy. Besides, he saw giving money to needy people as unrewarding, and at the bottom of his soul, it was just wrong. As I said, he wrote, "It's Tough to Be a Billionaire," and his books also included "My Life and Fortune," and here's one you might want to pull off the shelf, "How to Be Rich." And one of these days, when I need to entertain you a bit and regale you with stories, I will tell you the story of the abduction of his grandson. Many of you may remember that. And his negotiations with the boy's kidnappers. But I guess we really need to get back to the gospel. In today's gospel, Jesus advises a rich young man to share his riches with the needy, to gain eternal life and never-ending happiness. In today's gospel selection from the Gospel of St. Mark, we find 3 sections. The first one, a narrative about Jesus' encounter with this rich man. The second piece, Jesus' sayings about wealth as a possible obstacle to discipleship. Yeah, a possible obstacle to discipleship. And number 3, Jesus' promise of reward for those who share their material possessions with the needy for the sake of the kingdom, reminding the rich man of the commandments that deal with relationships with other people. Jesus challenged this rich young man to sell what he had and to give the money to the poor. The disciples were shocked by this challenge, but Jesus declared that true religion consisted in one sharing one's blessings with others rather than hoarding and or getting inordinately attached to them. inordinately attached. Anybody ever watched the TV show Hoarders? Well, that raises inordinately attached to an art form. So what are the life messages that we should take from this gospel? Number one, we need to accept the invitation to generous sharing. Initially, Jesus, in generous, sacrificial love, gave us his very self. Yeah. In response, we find rising up in our hearts the desire to give Jesus our own total selves. And so to enter the faith relationship that Jesus offers us. God does not ask us to give up our riches, but he does ask us to use them wisely in his service and the service of the kingdom, not allowing them to gain control over our hearts and our lives. God gives us time, talent, treasure, health, wealth, riches, and relationships that we may use them as good stewards in the service of others. I can't tell you the number of times that I have heard homilies on this gospel, and usually the homilist will begin by saying, you know, this young man had a lot of riches. He had a lot of stuff. And then the homilist will go on to say, but I think it should be better translated, all of his stuff had him. All of his stuff had him. And number two, I'd like to suggest that you make a checklist of your prioritized attachments. Like I've said before in other homilies, we used to be able to do that with a check register. And for you young people, ask your grandparents what a check register is. Yeah. For those of you who live in the electronic age, now you got to go and download the details of your transactions. Yep. I don't always like what I see there, but it's there on the internet for you to find and you to look over. And I certainly encourage you to do that. And once you've looked that over, then give God priority. So I ask you, are anger, lust, gluttony, evil habits, addictions, jealousy, holding grudges, and infidelity, cheating our priorities? Let us invite God into our daily lives by praying for the strengthening grace and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, so that we, not this young man, but we, may give God priority, keeping his holy word as our guide. Amen.